This is the season 11 season finale of Grit and Glitter, a weekly podcast dedicated to the power of women's wrestling. This week, your friends in the Glitterati went to Philadelphia for WrestleMania weekend. We did not attend WrestleMania, none of us, but we were there and we attended a lot of other shows. My name is Harley Vasquez. I am joined this week by my fellow Glitterati members, Emphir, Don Halliwell, and Lindsay Baker, as well as Lindsay's cousin Rebecca and friend of the show, Laz. We were all there live in Philadelphia, along with Mayday and Val Pancakes of the Glitterati. And it was a hell of a weekend, folks.
Day one, Harley and Monica make the trip from Toronto, Ontario, Canada to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania for Collective Weekend. We're calling it that. Not calling it Mania Weekend because we don't care about WrestleMania. We care about independent pro wrestling and women's professional wrestling. We leave at 8 a.m. Okay, 8:30. It took us a little bit longer to say goodbye to the cats. We leave at 8:30. Google says 8 hours and 45 minutes to get to our hotel. We know we're stopping in Buffalo to pick up some makeup and to eat some brunch. We know we're going to be stopping multiple times to pee because even though I don't drink anything, I have to pee like every 45 minutes. Don't ask me. Unless you're a doctor and then tell me what's going on there. Anxiety? Maybe. Monica drives. I don't. I just got my G1 like a couple of months ago. So I'm on track, but I still haven't gone to driving school. I'm not ready. I'm not qualified. I'm not allowed. So she's got to do the entire trip herself. And she doesn't even really like wrestling. What a wife, eh? What a peach. So we make the trip. We're driving. We hit the border. We hit the Ambassador Bridge into the United States of America. We drive down to Buffalo. We get our breakfast. I get some pancakes. She gets some eggs and hash browns. We keep driving. We make a stop at the fabled Wawa that you people are always talking about. And then also at a Sheetz. I know there's a discourse between wrestlers of like, are you Sheetz or are you Wawa? I don't know. They seem identical to me. One of them had like, it was so American. They had like American flag cowboy hats. They had a t-shirt with a bald eagle wearing mirrored sunglasses. I was going to cry. It's so American. The Gatorade bottles are huge. It's just, I think we're walking around the whole time. I'm just like, oh, America. Love it. Love it. The number of Donald Trump flags and banners we saw made us cry, but made us laugh. It was amazing. It was delicious. I love this country. Long way through New York into Philadelphia. We hit Pennsylvania at like the 4-hour mark. And I was like, we still have another 4 hours to go. Pennsylvania is bigger than I thought, I guess. But we're just driving and doing our thing. And the weather is all over the place. It's snowing at one point. It's raining at one point. It's back and forth. It's back and forth all day. Waiting for the sun, waiting for the nice weather, but it's not coming. Finally, after, I don't know, 12 hours, we like finally make it close to our destination of Berwyn, Pennsylvania. We hit a Trader Joe's. We loaded up with some snacks for our hotel room. We had some bottled water. We got some cookies. We got some mandarins, donuts, things like that. And then we're finally checking into our hotel around 9 p.m., 12 and a half hours after we left. Long driving day. But we did it. We arrived. The hotel is really nice. Actually, I was very surprised. We got everything. We got a dishwasher. We got a stove. We got a microwave. We're not going to use any of this, but we have it, which is really cool. Checked in here for a 45-minute nap and then back dressed, back on the road to Penn's Landing Caterers, where the collective was being held. They told us that there'd be limited free tickets, general admission for the culture. The show happens at midnight, and we had a long, long day, but we knew we wanted to go to this to support Billy Dixon, to check out cool wrestling, to support black wrestling, and to see our friends. We get there, it's packed. Joey Janela's spring break has just ended. The whole show ran late. There's people everywhere. We don't know what we're doing. We don't know where we're going. It's just chaos, mass chaos. But I see Effie. I see Speedball. I see Veda. I'm like, okay, we're in the right spot at least. I see Erica Lee waiting in line to get in. I see a woman from Rise Wrestling, M's other home promotion. We managed to get in with the free tickets. We managed to link up with M and Don and Laz and Brian Bell, LGBT in the ring. They're all seated. They saved spots for us. Big hugs go all around. 10 minutes later, we see Val Pancakes come in. How can you not? That big blue hair. We give her some big hugs and just really cool. Just really cool to be there in that building and to get to attend at least one collective show since Big Gay Brunch sold out before we made this decision to make this big trip. Celebrities everywhere you look, man. There's like, we're seated below the hard cam, right behind us, standing next to the wall. I'm like, wait a minute, that's Gail Kim and Alicia Edwards. And they're just there as fans, just hanging out, watching the show, which is so cool. And a real testament, something I want to talk about with them and them when we meet up with them again tomorrow, is there has been, promoters have been showing out four women this week. Like, obviously, we've seen the headlines about ROH having four women's matches on their show. But when I spoke to Kevin about Thrashovania last week, we brought up the fact that half the matches on his show have women on it. For the culture, same thing. Trust in Billy Dixon, you know? There's a six-woman scramble with people like Jocelyn Navarro and Tiara James. There was Book Valentine and Faye Jackson in a tag match, along with Kings of the District and Jordan Blade. It was just like, yeah, so many cool women, so many cool things. Everybody looks amazing. Half the women in the scramble match, like, if you get a chance to watch that on Triller, they're all glittery. They're all beautiful. They're all so cool. It was such a, we only made it for half the show because by that point it's like 2 a.m. But it was such a good show and like just so cool getting to see all these people. Like, we're the third row back, you know, getting to see all these flips and dives and crashes in person was such a blast. So that's day one. Tomorrow, it is day two. We are heading to Thrashovania to see Kevin and support him and watch another great day of women's wrestling. We're going to check out Suplex City Vintage. That's a wrestling shop here in Philadelphia that's doing a block party. We're going to meet up with the rest of the Glitterati and hopefully do something there, dinner or maybe even a WrestleMania watch. Maybe they'll get us just because there's nothing else going on. We might watch WrestleMania. I don't know. And then Sunday, Spark Joshi, and I got to record some with M and Don and the rest of them because fucking Don's been to like 9 shows already. And you know Val Pancakes is, I got to have been to at least 7 or 8 as well. Like those two are just like the diehards, the road warriors. They go to everything and so much. And they've seen so many shows. M saw Chitan wrestle. M's met Ram Kai Chow. She saw Mayu Iwadani wrestle, which I get to see on Sunday. But like I'm going to be jealous until then. She saw Aja Kong. It was just, yeah, there's, like I said, so many amazing, they went to Stardom, they went to TJPW already, and like the weekend's only half over for them, whereas the weekend's just started for us, so we have so much more to look forward to, and I can't wait.
All right, let's go. Okay,
let's do it.
So this trip happened on a whim. I had no intention of going to WrestleMania. I think I was talking with Mayday about the CFU show for Mania Week. And when asked if I was going to it, something in me clicked, and I replied, you know what? I am. And it spiraled from there. But I didn't want to travel alone. My interest in wrestling was something I shared mostly with others I had come to know on the internet. And that's kind of where I went from a casual WWE enjoyer to the sick indie mud show freak you see before you. Or here, whatever. I had a few friends IRL that shared the interest, but, you know, would they want to commit to these 4 days of niche indie wrestling shows that I had come to love? I wasn't about to force this on someone that wasn't ready to commit to 4 days, and you know what? I had no interest in catering to that. I wanted to do something for me, 110%. Luckily, I have my cousin Rebecca. She moved to Florida over 10 years ago, so we don't get to see each other like we used to. But we have a lot of similar interests in our lives, kind of follow this weird artsy path, because we're both weirdos that are into that shit. So, I showed her Combat Toyota and Megumi Kudo in their classic exploding barbed wire death match, and the reaction was favorable, so you know, that's about half the battle. We both like to look at everything through a fine art lens, and I have been lucky enough to get a number of paintings to wrestlers through the magic of the internet, some of their friends, and other wrestling fans that go to meet and greets. But I hadn't gone to anything since the pandemic started. And, you know, ultimately the greatest pleasure is knowing that the painting that I give to these people is enjoyed by them. And I think professional wrestling is an art form that deserves to be held in high esteem as any other. And my contributions to this through my art are something that I take immense pride in. However, I'm just human, and I wanted to give this to people in person again, and I wanted that serotonin boost, so, you know, here we were. So, I'm here with my cousin Rebecca. She is a new wrestling fan, or, you know, might not ever watch wrestling again. We'll find out. So, what did you think as someone that's newer to wrestling coming to this for the first time?
It's fucking wild. The words I kept using when I was, like, texting my friends back home was that, like, I feel like I've stumbled into a parallel universe where, like, it looked like, you know, with the boxing ring and then, like, mixing that with, like, literally, like, someone dressed up with, like, throwing around a pillow and just big gay bears. it's majestic. It's like, it's 100% just pure majestic.
Mm-hmm,
and from
mm-hmm.
like an artistic standpoint, it's fantastic. Yeah. Like I took more pictures than I'm going to admit. Like there's just way too many and I'm a little shameful of it. But all of them are going to make amazing reference photos. And I'm just like, I got so into it from like a photography standpoint. And like photography is not my jam usually. It's mm-hmm. like design and drawing and, you know, all of our nerdy shit.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I'm just like, well, next time, like, well, shit. One, this is happening again without question.
Yeah.
And two, I'm just going to bring my DSLR and I'm just going to like, maybe I shouldn't say that on this, but fuck it.
Yeah.
I'm just going to pretend like I'm another one of the, like, pro photographers and just get up in there and just be like, yeah, I meant to be here. I'm taking this for that guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The beauty of indie wrestling is, though, like, if you're just, you know, sometimes if you're nice enough, like, just be like, hey, what's up? Can I get up close? They'll be like, yeah, okay, I don't care.
Yeah, like, we wind up, like, the last event we went to, we were starting to make friends with, like, some of the cameramen and, like, other, like, pro photographers there. And we're just, you know, just being nice. Just being like, oh, just push me out of your way. If I'm obstructing your view or, you know, just, like, little nice things like that. And then him being like, if I throw you, like, in front for a good shot, then, like, you know, don't hold it against me. And we're like, hey, it's welcomed, bud.
Absolutely.
So it was cute.
Yeah. One thing on this trip is I always, you know, everyone overpacks, and I had so much art shit that I wanted to bring with me. I managed to whittle it down quite significantly. I just brought a bunch of paint pens and ballpoint pens and colored pencils. I have a bunch of pencil pouches. And I got all these little sketchbooks called Ugly Books that are just, like, colored paper. They're really cute. I don't know why they're ugly. But we actually spent, like, all of Saturday night. Like, we had two events Saturday. We got back to our hotel probably around, like, 5-ish. And we're like, you know what? Let's just look at all the pictures we took. And we did a bunch of drawing. And, you know, that was my fucking jam.
Agreed. Yeah. I mm-hmm. think we filled up, like, what, at least 2 or 3 pages of just, like, figure drawings or, like, fractions of, like, figure drawings that we were just like, this is sick.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
This has turned out so good.
And I'm so happy that you see it through the same kind of lens I do, where it's just, like, it's, like, an infinite, like, resource for, like, action, like, poses and photography, and then you get the lighting into it, too. Mm-hmm. And then, like, the thing that got me really hooked on wrestling in particular, and, like, the individuals that, you know, are in it, is just, like, I was using it for drawing references, and I was always like, okay, like, I'm gonna turn this, you know, I'm gonna turn this wrestler into, you know, fucking Goku or something, whatever. And eventually, like, I'd be, like, sketching these things out, and I'm like, but what if I didn't turn this into Goku? What if I just kept it as, you know, fucking Quick Hands Mike or whoever the fuck I'm drawing? And it kind of spiraled from there, because I was like, you know what, this is a beautiful art form, and it deserves that sort of, like, recognition, and I should be drawing out, you know, fucking CM Punk or whatever, or, you know, let's go with a indie person. Oh, I should be drawing Billy Starks, because there needs to be more Billy Starks art in the world, like, you know, that sort of thing. So this was just, like, really fun to get all this sort of thing and kind of get back in the groove of it, because I hadn't been to a live show in, like, 4 years. So the first show we went to was Combat Fights Unlimited out in New Jersey, and I was so excited to go to this because they have KZT on the card, who I am a big fan of and mentioned many times on here. And I brought a painting of her, and I was able to give it to her. She was so grateful and so sweet. I was kind of hoping she'd win her cage match. She didn't, but Harlene Lopez did, and she fucking rules. I think that was my first time seeing her wrestle. And also Sienna was there as, like, a guest judge, but basically came out to challenge Jordan Blade at the end, which I love. I'm looking forward to that. I think it's August 8th. Plug, plug. Get down there. Also, just a quick side note, I would love to see Sienna and KZT in the cage together. Let's get that going. Do you have any thoughts on the CFU show?
I'm not gonna lie. I was just, like, sitting there just, like, absorbing all of it, because I'm like, what the fuck is happening right now? I'm like, this is just fantastic. Again, parallel, like, universe. I kept looking around, but, like, there's a glitch in the Matrix. Like, this is wild. And, like, but again, like, that's where I find it so charming, is just because, like, it does feel like you... I don't know. It just feels like a totally different world, and you're just, like, you're just thrown into it. So I'm just like, this is amazing. Like, I don't need really much context to just have a fantastic time watching this.
Yeah, and
like, that's kind of, like, how I'm gonna, I mean, honestly, like, when I go back home and, like, I talk about it more in depth with them, that's, like, how I'm gonna frame it. I'm like, you know, I purposely, like, put the blinders on prior to our trip, because I was like, no, I don't want to know anything. I want to just learn about it on the fly. And, like, it's just going to be fun that way. And, like, I'm just going to have a great time.
Yeah, there's definitely, like, the authenticity there. And going to something like a smaller show like CFU, I think is a fun way to start, because, you know, the mainstream perception of wrestling is just WWE. It's, like, literally just that.
Yep, that's the only thing that, like, I thought of when you were first telling me about it.
And, like, to
Which is so shameful now.
Yeah, I know, right? I know. But, yeah, to go to this little indie, and, like, they were partnered with another, like, place, and I think they were local, because there was a lot of local, like, I heard Philadelphia for, like, the locations for most of them, and there were some women behind us that were clearly there for, like, just the main event. Like, I think, like, maybe that was one of them guys in there was their nephew or something, because they were just hooting and hollering. It was so much fun.
Honestly, yeah, like, okay, so being in the crowd and then just sitting there, and... because the venue was so small, it was one of those things that, like, you knew that, like, family was coming out for, to be like, oh, that's my little bro, or, like, that's my son, it makes him happy, go get it, honey.
Yeah,
and, like,
yeah,
that stuff to me is so freaking endearing that it just melts my heart. Yeah. And, like, I don't know if you're referencing, like, the two ladies that were right behind us.
Yes.
That I, like, I didn't want to turn around and look at, because I didn't want to, like, disturb their conversation, but it was the funniest thing I ever heard in my entire life.
Yeah.
Like, they were flat out, like, these ladies, because I caught a glimpse of them a couple times, like, side eye.
Yeah.
And, like, they had to have been, like, 60, 70-ish, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
And, like, they need their own podcast. Like, ladies.
Yeah.
I don't know if you listen to this, but you need to. You need to make your own podcast tonight.
Yeah.
Because it was the greatest. So, like, there'd be moments in there where it's just like, you know, you hear like the wrestler's banter and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden from right behind me, I just hear like the old ladies just go, "Oh, hell, I ain't gonna take that." Yeah. And just be like, "Oh, tap me in, get me in there. I'll take care of it." And I'm like, that's what I want.
Yeah.
That's what I want to hear. That's like, that's the most adorable, endearing thing I think I've ever heard.
Yeah, yeah. I love the indie shows. Like, more so, like, outside of GCW, because that's almost, like, the big indie. But, like, you get such a diverse crowd. Like, there's, like, it almost just feels like people, like, around the corner were like, "What's going on in here?" And just sort of wandered in, like...
Yeah, no, absolutely. Because I remember when we were leaving and, like, getting in the Uber, I, like, overheard someone, like, just walking on the street being like, "There's a lot of commotion coming from in there."
And I was at that VFW?
And I just let them like, you know, linger in the mystery. I'm not going to tell them what it is. Like, I let their imaginations run wild. Because you do. You indeed, like, hear cheering, and then you hear, like, the thuds.
Yeah.
And then, like, I'm sure to someone that's just walking by that, like, this is just their everyday, like, 5 p.m. walk, that they're just like, "What is going on right now?" What is happening in my town?
Yeah, and it was even just, like, in such a nondescript building. Like, on the way there, I was... my mind was just, like, racing all that stupid shit they come up with. And I'm like, what if it's, like, a speakeasy entrance and we have to have a password at the door? Like, I don't know that. But good time was had. And then the next day started our collective shows. And we got to see Tokyo Joshi Pro, which was a treat. Like...
So much fun. Yeah.
All of those women fucking don't hold back. I love it. It was my first time seeing a lot of these women too, which was kind of a cool thing because, like, I didn't want to just come to this and be like, oh, like, explaining everything the entire time. I like a little bit of surprises for myself too. Really, really loved Hyper Me Sao. That was my first time seeing her. I drew a bunch of pictures of her.
Remind me again which one was her.
She was the one that had, like, the green and the mask, and she was like, "I'm a superhero." Like, but she was, like, really, like, chicken shit and everything.
Yeah, I adored that. Okay. Real talk, I have so many photos from that specific mask
because
each one was just, it was just so, I don't know, the pageantry of it was just, like, so good.
Yeah,
and it was, like, so much movement in it, when nothing felt stale for a second. And like, you could tell that, I don't know, layman watching, you could just see the practice and technique and everything that they were putting into this specific moment. And so I was just, it kind of, like, took me back for a second. I just kind of sat there and I was like, "Oh, wow. Okay. I see you. I see you. I'm like, get it, honey."
I find myself just kind of, like, staring in awe so much, and I have to, like, snap myself out of it, because it's like, oh, shit, I have to, like, cheer and everything. Like, that's what they're here for. They just don't want to see people gawking silently.
Sorry to those that I gawked at.
Yeah, we did a lot of gawking, and we're sorry. She also, Hyper Me Sao, had the Daruma during her match with Billy, which the weeb in me just fucking loved, because anything, like, Japanese culture, I'm like, oh, that guy's been around for thousands of years. And, Billy had Athena of Ring of Honor fame, ringside, bossing her around, which is really great to see, too. And there was also a Steph DeLander match versus Hyper Me Sao, and she was the one that had the, like, Wonder Woman type Stars and Stripes outfit on.
I had so many pics of that, because, like, I'm not gonna go into, like, the most boring of, like, art terminology and shit for it, but how can I say this without, like, going into a rampage?
We can always edit it down.
Thank
you, Harley.
Thank you. So first thing I saw was, like, wow, the pattern mismatch is, like, that's going to make a great picture, because they're so like, extremely different from each other that it's a beautiful complement of just colors literally just flying around in here in the place. And so, like, one that, like, got me, I was just like, oh, this is going to be some sick shots. And then once they actually, like, started going and stuff like that, then, like, it just turned it up times 10. And, like, again, it was just the whole thing of just watching them, like, seeing all the effort and all the practice and everything that they were doing to build up for, like, these moments. it's just, this fills you with so much respect. Mm-hmm. Just so much respect. So,
absolutely. Like, yeah,
just watching it from the artistic standpoint of, like, just the costumes just being, like, you know, so vastly different, which kind of, like, made it more fun for me as an artist.
Mm-hmm.
But then also just seeing just the work, the pure work that goes into it is just, like, yeah, it was just...
Yeah.
Best, like, thing I've seen.
So many of the costumes were so incredible because they're all so unique. Like, you could paint with a broad brush and just say, oh, they're just really busy and sparkly. But no, like, each one is so different. Like, it just... it's even like someone like Viva Von had like the black kind of shiny pleather. She had the long dark hair and the red streak in it.
Oh, yeah.
But... yeah. And she kind of did like a leather, like sort of like baddie queen sort of thing. But like even within that, there's like a lot of individuality within her outfit. And it's like recognizable. It's like, oh, there's Viva Von. I can spot her across the room.
Yeah. Because like, yeah, the second time that we saw her, I was like, oh, I know her.
Yeah, yeah.
As if we were, like, school buds or something like that. I'm just like, that's my girl. Like, yeah. I know that chick. Like, yeah. She's a badass.
Yeah, and, like, absolutely.
What the hell? But, yeah, no, and, like, I think that's really cool because then, like, that is, you know, that's, I guess that's kind of like marketing 101. Where yeah. It's just, like, establish a branding for yourself. And, yeah. Like, they did it really, she for one has done it really well.
Yeah.
And... pretty much everybody that we've seen has, like,
yeah,
they have their vision, they know what it is, they know what their character is, mm-hmm. and, like, they just fly with that. And, mm-hmm. like, I think that's, like, that's really cool from a bigger standpoint.
Yeah.
Of, like, the whole thing. It's just, like, it's, what do you call that? Holistic. It's
yes.
just very holistic.
Yeah, yeah. Another match that I thought really stood out was during the Big Gay Brunch, Trisha Dora versus Karam with Polo DeMar as his valet. And first of all, Polo, I love always seeing. It's like the intersection of wrestling and drag is like one of my favorite things. And to see like a drag queen kind of take to it so quickly, like, she's incredible. Always a pleasure to see her.
That was amazing. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
You're good.
I just like kind of like nerded out in my brain for a second. I just like relived it.
Yeah.
And that was fantastic. It was. I honestly think I'm like, oh, that's how you get people into this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you show them, or maybe that's just, like, my group of friends.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, God, is that telling of me?
It is. That's how my brain started working.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
You got the bug. You're infected.
Oh, God.
Yeah, this is your life now.
I didn't wash my hands enough, and here we are. Jesus Christ. No, it was just so fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Yes, so it's like... it's just the campiness of it, and it's just, like, so overtly ridiculous, and everybody's in on the ridiculousness of it, and just, like, again, like, you suspend your disbelief, and then feel like you've been thrown into a parallel universe, where, like, everything that you thought you understand about life is, these rules do not apply at this, like, for this amount of time, and, it was amazing. I loved seeing, like, men versus women.
Mm-hmm.
That got me.
Yeah, yeah.
And then seeing people of all different body types going against each other.
Yeah.
Like, again, that just boils down to the work and the technique that they've been, like, building and practicing and just, you know, preparing for. And so it's just, like, that much more respectful to be like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I watched... in, like, theory, like, I watched this tiny little girl, like, fucking slam down this, like, big fucking burly, like, bear of a dude.
Yeah.
And it was just, like, I was like, yes.
Yeah.
As a woman.
Yes.
I just, like, felt that in my core.
Girl power!
Yeah. It was some, like, Spice Girl shit right there.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, it was.
Wannabe started playing in my head, and, like, what was their other song? Slam it to the right. Have a good time.
Oh, Spice Up Your Life. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
That started playing in my head a couple times when she was just fucking, like, you know, when she was, like, you know, taking the advantage and, like,
yeah,
you know, she was running the moment.
And another thing I liked about it as, like, you know, a sophisticated wrestling fan. I can't remember.
Sophistication runs high in this.
It does.
In
it does.
In this friendship right here.
It does. It does. Like. That's the foundation. I don't remember if this was exactly her finishing move, but it was more towards the end. But she put the six suplex on Karam because they kind of like played up like him being like physically larger and she couldn't lift him. But when she finally suplexed him, it was like finishing move energy. Like that was it. And then I kind of love that within wrestling too, because usually it's like, oh, like we want to see some sick tricks. We want to see a 450 splash, corkscrew, moonsault, whirly durly shit.
And I want to see some roller girl shit happen.
Yeah. And this was just like, no, boom, simple suplex, you're done. But most importantly, Karam had the cutest little butt. So, you know, that's really what I come for, is the meat.
I do remember you shouting that a lot, but you weren't the only one. Yeah. I'd say like a good 75% of the crowd was like essentially saying the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
they're like, them cheeks, or like whatever.
Yeah.
And then, of course, like my goofy ass was like, yeah. I was like, make him clap, girl. Like, go get him.
Yeah. And speaking of rive little ladies taking advantage of big burly men, we also had that sick moment with Vert Vixen and Paro.
Fuck.
Wasn't like a suplex. Oh, you can swear. It's fine.
Okay, I was going to say, I was like, wait, it's a, you can edit.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, you're just going to get Rebecca through and through. Like,
yeah.
I'm sorry. Like,
yeah.
I hope there's something like redeemable in there for you.
Yeah. If they can tease it out with me, they can tease it out with you.
Oh, all right, we're good.
We're good. But yeah, Vert Vixen was there, and anyone who knows
100%
what...
100% now, she's...
Yeah, she's my girl!
Yeah, she's the one person that, like, again, goes back to the costumes and
stuff.
Or
yeah.
Maybe is costumes, like, the right term for it?
They say gear in wrestling, but it's just
okay,
a costume.
You know how it is. Like, you want to be respectful and shit.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
You put the work in, you might as well use the right terminology.
Yeah.
But, Another one that's like, I saw her attire and I was like, I know who that is.
Mm-hmm.
I know who that is now. I met her like, I haven't even met her. I like saw her for like 5 seconds. I was like, well, now we're best friends. So like,
yeah.
It's real now.
Yeah, absolutely.
But no, she was phenomenal. And like, yeah, that finishing move, I got the most beautiful. It looks like it's gonna reach some like Rembrandt status. So,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I got the shot. The shot's fucking sick, and like I see the Rembrandt potential in it. Like,
yeah.
I was scrolling through my phone and landed on that, and how she's like slamming him down, and just like the pose that they're both in, and the lighting coming from above. It's just like I heard like, you know, the Gangorian chants happening in the background.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is some Rembrandt shit. I'm
yeah.
Like, yo, this is gonna be an amazing painting.
Yeah.
Later, and I love that I got to show her that the next
day. Yeah, yeah.
Because like, I was like, oh, girl, you just hustling. You're a working girl just like us. Like,
yeah.
You get it. So I was like, yo, look at the shot I got of you. I was like, this is a pretty sick shot. And like, her eyes just like lit up. I don't know. She was just trying to be nice and be like, oh, thank you, weird person. Or just being like genuine, being like, oh, shit, that's a good shot. But
yeah.
Like, either way, I was just like, I was happy to see her like be like, oh, wow, that's awesome. Because I knew she put a lot of work into preparing for that moment. Like, both of them did, clearly, but it's just that choreography that they had that was, like, so smooth for that specific moment that I was just like, oh, she's gonna really appreciate this, because they just put so much work into it. Look at how your work has come out.
Like, yeah, it's, yeah.
Now it's, like, a masterpiece in my mind.
Absolutely. Speaking of good pictures, you got an incredible shot of Dark Sheik spanking Sunny Kiss.
Oh,
when
she
took her belt off and put Sunny over her knee.
Honestly, my favorite part about that picture, again, it's another future painting fodder, but my favorite part about that is the signage in the background, because it just like illustrates exactly what this specific event was for.
Yeah.
So you see, like, you know, the spanking happening, and then right in the background, and the huge rainbow lettering, it says, Big Gay Brunch!
Yes!
And it's like, I felt it. I was this is an iconic picture right here.
Yeah.
Like, this is a moment.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
And, I literally just remembered it.
Universe, I swear to God.
I literally just remembered this as you were talking about it, but I was like, Paro came out to that sick remix of Closer by Nine Inch Nails.
I lost my shit
Me
at that.
Too.
I was just like, oh my God, I completely forgot about the magic of, like, music, like hype music for a second. Like, you know, you got your own hype music when you're working out or like, I don't know, you're a weirdo like me and you're I'm gonna go stomping around outside. And so, yeah, you got your own little like hype music. But then like to hear shit like that, I was like, oh, anything with Nine Inch Nails, you immediately fucking got me. Like, I'm a simple woman.
Like, I'm a simple woman. When I hear Trenty, I clap.
Yeah, no, as soon as I start hearing that industrial, like, heartbeat happening, you got me. Yeah. I'm here, baby.
Yeah.
And so, like, yeah, I got won over before I even knew who the, like, person was or anything. Like, their performance or anything. I just heard the song, and I was like, they're gonna be great. Like, they chose that, so, like, you know they're good shit.
Yeah. this is one of those things where it's like, you can't tell by the sound of our voices, but we're both kind of short. So when people would come out, we weren't able to see it at all. So we'd have to wait till they hopped up on the ring apron.
I thought about, like, there was a couple times there was, like, empty chairs. And I legit thought about just climbing on those and getting a picture. But now I was just like, No, it's too far. Just, you know, wait your turn.
Yeah, I'm always so afraid I'm going to get hollered at, like, a lifeguard or something. Like, get off the buoy.
Right. Hey, don't dive in the deep end.
Yeah. Another cool thing that I want to throw out there, just to be self-indulgent, I got to tell Vert Vixen how much I enjoyed her on Wow Women of Wrestling as Glitch the Gamer. And I knew, like, the minute I told her I'm a big WoW fan, she was going to start laughing, and she absolutely did.
She lost it.
And I think, one of the, like, guys working the merch table next to her, like, even, like, was like, yo, I told you so! Like,
he did. He 100% did. Like, he stopped. I watched him from the corner of my eye.
Yeah.
And, like, I think he, like, stopped, like, mid-conversation with somebody else and was just, like, whipped around and was just like, oh, dude,
Purple, like, Matt realness. Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's friendship right there. I was like, that's how you make friends.
Absolutely.
If I've ever seen it.
Yeah.
And her reaction, oh, God.
It was just like finding, like, embarrassing high school photos with, like, headgear and braces and shit.
Yep. As soon as I heard it, I had, like, a flashback of us and, like, some of our, like, middle school pics and, like, I'm just like, oh, God, that's so, ooh.
Yeah.
But yay, thank you.
But I was like, girl, you get it better than he does. And aww. She was like, oh, thank you. Yeah. So she was a big standout for us.
She's a trooper. She's a trooper.
Yeah.
For her to be, like, really nice with us, like, I really respect that. Because I'm like, we're a couple little weird squirrels over here.
No, it is. It's one of those, like, imposter syndrome type things I have. Whenever I would give a wrestler art, I always feel like it's going to be some Napoleon Dynamite shit.
I made this beautiful liger for you.
Yeah. Like,
I thought it really represented you and, like, I want you to have it as I, like, deadlock my eyes with you.
Bred for its skills in magic. So our last show was Spark Joshi, which was out at the legendary Wrestle, like, Monster Factory in New Jersey.
Yeah, it was actually, like, and that was the thing, too, that, like, I was, like, low-key expecting was that, like, oh, these probably are not going to be held at, like, actual, like, boxing gyms because they have the rings. So it was, like, fantastic to see it in, like, all these different, like, environments. One girl, okay, so random, like, tangent side story. So, like, we went out to lunch prior to that. We were just, like, walking around in, like, a couple of the shops and, like, one of the girls that was working it was just like, oh, are you going to, like, WrestleMania? Or, like, my boyfriend's really into it. He's there right now at something. Again, it's all just, like, it's a hodgepodge of just nouns being mashed together for me right now. So, like, I don't know what anything is.
Yeah.
But she showed us pictures that her boyfriend sent her, and this was, like, in the middle of the fucking street.
Yeah.
They just set up a ring in the middle of the street and like, in the middle of, like, the cutest, like, stereotypical New England town.
Yeah.
So it's, like, so family friendly looking.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, it's the place you bring, like, your stroller and your kids and you walk your dogs. And then they set up a fucking ring in the middle of it. I'm like, let me just ruin this for you right quick. Or for them, not for me, because I love it.
Yeah.
So, like, for me, that I got a huge kick, like, huge tickle out of that. That was like, oh, that's so much fun. I love seeing this stuff being held in all of these different environments. But it is, like, really nice to see it being, like, held in a setting that I was, like, low-key hoping for.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
It was, like, it was a legit boxing gym because there was no AC or anything like that, which, like, as soon as I saw the building, I was like, there ain't no AC in here. I know it's going to smell like fucking Funyuns.
Yeah.
And I'm like, nobody's doing anything. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just all of us, like, nerds just sweating because, like, we're not used to these kind of environments.
Yeah. They opened up the door and there was, like, a tunnel of, like, a soft breeze that most of us migrated towards.
Yeah. There was a couple times I, like, got, like, way too hot where we were because we were by the back, so...
By the entrance for them.
Yeah, so, like, it was nice. It was kind of cool because then, you know, our short asses could finally see when people were coming out.
Yeah.
So, like, thanks.
Yeah.
That's great. But then, like, it got too hot back there. It was just too many fucking people.
Yeah.
And then, like, you had, like, you know, the cameras, the smoke machines, all the strobing lights, so mm-hmm. many. If you have sensitivity to that stuff, I don't know. You're gonna have to come up with a plan because, like, that shit's like intense. That shit's rough.
Mm-hmm.
But standing over on the side, like by the open doors, mm-hmm. that was my spot.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I was like, oh, this is the best of both worlds. Like, I'm right on the stage, basically.
Yeah,
like,
right at the corner of the ring. Like,
yeah.
Girls are falling out in front of us.
Yeah,
yeah.
I got some really good like facial expression shots and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like. I'm not gonna nerd out too hard on it. Compose myself.
Yes.
Anyway, so yeah, it was like a really good spot, and like the breeze was just so good.
Mm-hmm.
It was so good. I just stood there, I'm like, oh, yes.
Yes. Yes.
And then I noticed there's a couple other wrestlers from like other events that were there.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason why I knew that was because like I could hear a little bit of banter happening, and like people would be like, oh, you know. I know you from do-do-do-do-do or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, see, they get it. They know what's up.
Yeah.
Standing by the door. I'm like, all right, that's my people.
Yeah.
Like, let me just, like, chill with them.
Mm-hmm. And of course, like, Aja Kong was at these indie shows, too.
That was a huge moment for me because, like, every time I've come up here and, like, hung out with you and, like, you know, we're just sitting around just, like, bullshit and, like, you put wrestling on in the background.
Yeah.
And it's always... To me, like, the one thing that stands out, it always seems like it's always her.
Yeah.
And so it's, like, I already had this, like, I don't know.
Like mystic perception of her. Yeah. Like, what? There she is.
Yeah.
She's still fucking going today.
Like, you mean that was a person?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
That's a human?
Yeah.
She exists?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
So that was, like, really, I don't know why, but I kind of, like, nerded out on that. It's the real person.
Yeah.
I've seen on my little TV box.
Yeah, no, like, that was something that kept getting me. I was like, oh, my God, like, and I think that's one of the reasons I didn't take as many pictures as I wanted to, because it would just be like, I look at my phone and see these wrestlers all the time,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know if it's maybe just me, but I can't take pictures with my phone and, like, look at something and have it come out nice.
Yeah.
So I just kept, like, putting my phone away, and I was like, no, this is for me to soak in right now.
Yeah, no, I have my moments like that, too, and, like, out of everything we saw... That specifically, like, I went through the pictures and I kind of went through them pretty quickly because I didn't take as many because of that very specific thing. Like,
yeah.
I was just like, no, I just want to, like, just enjoy this right now. Like,
yeah.
I've watched her so much on TV.
Yeah.
So, like,
yeah.
Now I just, like, want to just, like, soak it in.
Yeah, in real life.
Yeah.
And I got to give Aja Kong a little painting I made of her.
Yeah, that was so sweet.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
She seemed excited, but I have to say that she was probably the most composed out of all the wrestlers I've given shit to. She holds it together the best. Everyone else is a bit of a fangirl, which I can't blame them.
Honestly, that's my people.
Yeah, that's, like, my people. Like,
so,
yeah.
I'm just like, no, I'm gonna vibe with you really well, just
mm-hmm.
because I'm like, I can fangirl to fangirl.
Yeah.
I know the signs.
Yeah.
I see it.
Yeah.
I know that undertone.
Yeah. But yeah, that was our trip. Like, I had a really fun time, and I do want to do it again. I know my next big goal is to go to WOW Women of Wrestling, meet my new best friend David McLean, take over his business, no big deal. But
you guys can run Empire together.
Yeah, absolutely.
Between your art design and his, like, his know-how.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, we had a fantastic time, and I would love to do it again. And I hope everybody else that was there had a great time. I kept seeing people I know from the internet. It was crazy.
I thought that was the sweetest thing for me. Because, like, again, complete outsider. I put the blinders on.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't watched wrestling. And it was, like, I think it was still called WWF.
Yeah, it was. We watched it. It was, yeah.
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 And, like, we were just, like, little tater tots, and then, like, mm-hmm. we would practice the moves on each other and yeah. like, drag each other on the carpet in a circle like yeah, they would and just yes. get, like, the worst fucking, like, rug burn. Mm-hmm. So, okay, so that's, like, the last time I saw it.
Yeah. It was many, the Stone Cold era.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Many, many years ago, long before Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah.
And so, like, putting the blinders on and, like, purposely being like, no, I don't want to know anything. I just want to, like, go into it blind and just, like, have a fucking blast. And so, like, non-wrestlers highly recommend, going that route because there's just so much to learn that it's just easier just to go in there blind and just, like, just soak it in. Just vibe out to it and just, like, just enjoy the moment. And if you need to convince any of your, like, layman friends like me to, like, go, Big Gay Brunch.
Yeah, Big Gay Brunch.
There.
Yeah.
Start there.
It's a great entry point, I think.
Okay, day two, WrestleMania weekend. I gotta say, first off, for a country that famously hates public transportation, they sure don't make driving or parking very easy here either. Like, okay, so here's what happens. First off, I think I already said this, but my wife drives, I don't. Not yet. So she's been doing everything this weekend, and it's been stressing her the hell out, and I hate to see it. And I blame the public infrastructure here. Friday night, we are at For the Culture. It's going late. The show's like 12 to 3 a.m. or something like that. We left at 8:30 in the morning. We're exhausted. So finally, around 2 o'clock, we decide, you know what? We're going to leave and go back, try to get some sleep before our big Saturday shows. We feel bad missing Billy Dixon versus Darius Carter and a couple other matches, but we're like, we don't want to be getting home at 4 in the morning. So we leave, and Google Maps tells us it's about a 35-minute drive back to our hotel from the east side of Philly over to where we are in Berwyn, Pennsylvania. So we plug it in, we're driving along, and everything seems good. But here's the thing. In Ontario, Canada, we are used to highways saying things like, in 500 meters, take exit 42 for Avenue Road. Here, instead, it's things like, in 0.4 miles, take the third lane from the right, heading right for exit I-676/West Eustis Street North. Then stay left to take the exit for West Eustis Street North. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the vote splits into five directions. And the lane we're in turns into two lanes. And now we're like, wait, which lane is the third lane from the right? Because we were in the third lane from the right, but now we're in the fourth lane from the right. What does that mean? Where do we go? What do I do? What do I do? And so because of all this, we accidentally take one wrong turn. And next thing you know, we're on a giant-ass bridge and we're heading into New Jersey. And Siri says, welcome to New Jersey. And we say, shit. We do not want to go to New Jersey right now. We do tomorrow and Sunday for the shows there, but we don't want to go to New Jersey right now. We want to go back to our hotel in Pennsylvania and go to sleep because it is 2 o'clock in the morning. And in that instant, our ETA changes from 35-minute arrival to 1 hour and 32 minutes. And that is a big difference. That means we're getting back to our hotel at 3:30. And the map shows that they want us to do this huge loop now, keep going south, eventually turning east and then curving up and around and back. And we might get back to our hotel at 3:30 in the morning. And the whole reason we left the show early is because we didn't want to get back at 3:30 in the morning. That's insane. And she's freaking out and she doesn't know what to do. And we can't turn around. We're on a giant bridge in New Jersey. And also there's a barrier between our direction and the other direction. So we literally couldn't do a U-turn even if the bridge was deserted and there's nobody around. She doesn't know what to do. She's like, I guess we're just going to drive for an hour and a half. I said, no, we're not driving for an hour and a half. That's insane. Finally, once we get into New Jersey, we pull over, we check the Google Maps, and I find that if I'm willing to pay a toll, we can get back to our hotel in half an hour again instead of an hour and a half. And I'm like, fine, fuck it. Okay, I'll pay the toll. Like, I know I'm spending a lot of money this weekend. It is what it is. I will pay the toll. Great. We plug in the directions. We drive to the toll place. We get there. As we pull up to the toll booth, we see a sign at the last minute that says cash only. What the fuck? Like, what? Literally, in Canada, in Ontario, you can just take a toll road, not talk to anybody, not pay anything. You just drive down the toll road. They'll send a bill to your house later, and then you pay the bill online. Super easy. No, here, we pull up to this booth, and the guy's like, cash only. And I don't have any American cash. We didn't bother going to the bank machines. I've been tapping my credit card everywhere. He says, cash only. And we say, we don't have any cash. What do we do? And he says, okay. Yeah, I'll let you through, and you got to take that right over there. See in the corner? Go down that dark, creepy desert road. Okay, yeah, because also, there's no street lights in this province or in New Jersey, apparently. There's just, like, on the dark highway in the middle of the night, just your headlights. That's it. No street lights, no lamps, nothing. So good luck if you're trying to read street signs, if you're trying to see where you are. And good luck if the car behind you has their high beams on, like assholes like to do. So the guy at the toll booth says, okay, head this way, go down the street, find a gas station, withdraw some money, come back, and then I'll let you go back to Pennsylvania. We say, fine, whatever. So I plug in Google Maps. I say, gas stations near me, open now. And they send us to Sunoco. 6 minutes later, we pull up to a dark, empty, deserted building. It's locked up. There's nobody inside. There's no vending machines. It is not open now, Google. Nice try. Okay, back to Google. Wawa. Where's the closest Wawa? Here's one. It's another 6-minute drive. It says it's open 24 hours a day. It also says like 2.1 stars. It is what it is. We just need cash. We drive to the Wawa. We find it. We are on the verge of divorce at this point, FYI, because she's so stressed out and pissed off and taking it out on me, and I'm stressed off and pissed off, and thanks, America. So we get to the Wawa. I withdraw $100 cash. That way I've got money so I can buy merch over the weekend too. We're set. We're good to go. We drive back to the toll place. I give a guy a $20 bill. He gives me a $10 bill and five $1 bills. There's still $1 bills in America, which is so weird. What a waste of resources and money. And I know I'm pissing off my American viewers, listeners by this point, but as coins are more durable, they last longer. They are not need to be replaced as often as bills, which fall apart because of paper. It just kind of makes sense. And it feels like get with the times. So it gives me a $10 bill and five $1 bills as change. Great. We get through. And we're back on the road, and after more confusing directions and craziness, we get back to our hotel. And at this point, it is now 3 a.m. Not 3:30, but 3 a.m. Little improvement, I guess. We are exhausted. We get 5 hours of sleep, and then we're up, and we're out the door, and it's a new day. So day two in Pennsylvania, we get a nice brunch at our hotel. They provide free breakfast. You know, I get some fruit. I bought some donuts from Trader Joe's. My wife gets some eggs. We're having a good time. And then we're off back to New Jersey on purpose this time. Back to New Jersey for Kevin McElvaney's Thrashylvania. We talked all about this last week on the show. If you missed that episode, Thrashylvania is a benefit show that Kevin put together. Kevin is our friend. He's the editor in chief of Pro Wrestling Illustrated, the longest running wrestling magazine in the world. Great guy. Such a sweetheart. He lost his wife to cancer back in October. She had wanted to throw him a big 40th birthday party. She didn't get the chance. She passed away in October. His birthday is coming up in a couple weeks. So he took his vacation money and he put it towards running this show, which is also a fundraiser for the Cholangiocarcinoma Foundation, a foundation that helped them a lot when she was struggling and going through what she was going through. And so he wanted to pay back to them. And they did. We raised $5,000 with this show, which was amazing. It was at the H2O Wrestling Center in New Jersey. If you haven't been, if you can think of the indiest, grungiest building for an indie show, this is it. You know, like the washrooms are like, it's a closet with one dirty toilet and one dirty sink, and that's it. Men, women, wrestlers, fans, you're all sharing this closet. Building is freezing cold. We came in with like just a sweater on. I was like, I'm going back to the car to get my jacket. That's how cold it is in here. But once we settled in, just a great show. Just like a lot of fun. Because the wrestlers themselves, the talent, they never phone it in, right? Like they never half-ass it. It doesn't seem, at least to me, to matter whether they're wrestling like on a big ROH pay-per-view, wrestling at Penn's Landing Caterers for the Collective in this like really nice, giant, gorgeous venue, or wrestling in a small little warehouse in the middle of out in the outskirts of New Jersey, in the middle of nowhere. The wrestlers are going to show up and the wrestlers are going to do their thing. We got opening contest, Shazza McKenzie versus Delmi Exo versus Progress Women's Champion Riho for the Progress Women's Championship, which was really cool because, like, we've got British talent coming over for the show and doing their thing, and that's so awesome. And it was my first time getting to see Delmi Exo wrestle in person, which is awesome. I got a chat with her at intermission, bought a trading card from her, told her that I was besties with her bestie, Megan Nielsen, and got a bond over that. We got to see Viva Van wrestle. We got to see some more Japanese men's talent, Shun Skywalker, and had like a great match. She just kept laughing maniacally the entire match, like an evil villain, and just like harassing the fans. And the finish came with him running backstage. We think he's trying to get himself counted out. We're counting. We're like 9, 10. We're like, where is he? He ran around the entire outside of the building, ran back in through the front door, came up behind his opponent, and schoolboyed him for the win. Just amazing. Just great stuff. We had on the call, referee call, Gina Monti, friend of the show, Nick Shin, aka Enjoy Wrestling's hot ref, trademark M Fear. They were on the call. They were great. Nick had a lot of fun. My favorite match of the day was probably Eel O'Neill versus Andino. Eel was putting up the Wrestler's Lab Championship. Andino was putting up Fight Club Pro's Chocolate City Championship. So you would think we're getting a title change no matter what. But no, because they're both heels, and that means that they're both assholes and they're both trying to cheat. And poor Nick Shin is caught in the middle of all this. He's just like he's like getting more frazzled and losing his mind as they keep trying to bring a chair in the ring. They keep trying to low blow each other, eye gouge each other. Nick gets powder in his face at one point, and he's like screaming out in pain. The finish comes with both guys falling off the top rope, hitting the apron, landing at ringside, getting double counted out. Then Eel's manager, Maz Millennium, gets in. They're double teaming Andino. Trevor Eon shows up. We get an impromptu tag match. A lot of fun, just a lot of fun, big blast. Unfortunately, my beloved Hyann fell sick, did not make the show, did not get to wrestle. I didn't get to meet her after all these years. I thought, yes, I'm finally going to get to see Hyann. She never comes up to Toronto, never comes up to the Northeast. She didn't come up to this one either. And I don't think she's going to be at Spark Joshi tomorrow either, actually, if I'm reading the emojis that she tweeted out. One of them was a barfing emoji. That's never a good sign. But I did get to finally see the Outfielders. You would think I've been to two Enjoy Wrestling shows, I've been to other places, I would have seen the Outfielders live by now. I did not. This time I finally did. They were in a four-way tag match to crown number one contenders to the IWTV tag team titles. Little Mean Kathleen was in that match too. That was a lot of fun. Weber and Shay were amazing. Bummer of all bummers, they did not have any merch. They did not come out at intermission. And after the show ran long, so at second the last match finished, they just had cleared us all out of the venue and everybody was gone. I didn't get to say hello to them, give them any stickers, didn't get to say goodbye to Kevin, although I think I'll see him tomorrow at the Spark Joshi show. Otherwise, just, yeah, a lot of fun. Great show. We had the Kirks versus GPA and Lainey Luck as our main event, and, you know, they never deliver. There's a lot of obnoxious kissing between GPA and Lainey. There was some trickster kissing between Kirk and GPA. Just a lot of fun. Yeah, the whole show was just like really fun, really cool. We're just hanging out in the crowd, doing our thing, and just having a lot of fun. And, hello, I met Mayday. I finally met Glitterati member Mayday. During intermission, we got to chat. We got to take a photo. I think it's up on socials already. We got to talk a little bit about the CFU show that he ran on Wednesday night and future plans for CFU. That's been the coolest part of the whole weekend. It's just getting to see these wrestlers live that I've never seen live before. Getting to, like, you know, meet Delmi Exo, meet all these different people. But also getting to meet my friends that I've never seen live before. After the Thrashervania show, Monica and I headed to downtown Philly. We got some dinner at Tattooed Mom, this great, like, vegan, like, bar. Yeah, like, vegan bar food kind of thing. We got vegan corn dogs. We got some waffle fries. It was April 6th, which Empire Records stands will know is International Rex Manning Day. So they had the Sexy Rexy Vegan Corn Dog special. We saw actually like three stores on the block were all celebrating Rex Manning Day in honor of Empire Records, which is pretty funny. Caveat, the reason I wear my hair the way I do is because of AJ and Empire Records, because when I was 15, I thought he was so cool and so hunky and I wanted to look like him. So yeah, we got food there. We saw like Creeps were sitting at the table right next to us. They were eating their food. And Brian Bell came and joined us. Brian Bell, Wonder Boy, themselves of LGBT in the Ring came, and we got to hang out for like a couple hours, go thrift shopping, check out Philly 8's Thrift, great thrift shop in downtown Philadelphia. I got a vintage Simpsons board game. I got a Jughead Double Digest. We got one of Monica's favorite movies, 10 Things I Hate About You, on DVD for $2. Come on, what more can you want? And with it being the hotspot destination that it is, literally I had it recommended to me by 3 different people. We're there upstairs, me, Monica, and Brian, just shopping around, and I get a text from M saying, hey, I'm just affiliated Thrift now. And we're like, of course you are. So I go downstairs, and there's M, just shopping there as well. Didn't know we were there. We didn't know she was coming. Just ran into each other there, got to chat some more about stuff there and about the highlights of her weekend. I think her, Dawn, and Laz are going to try to record something for this week's episode because they've had a whole series of misadventures separate from us. We've only crossed paths twice, really. We got to see her. We got to hang out. Got to check out a record shop, grab some ice cream with Brian. Just like a really nice little night. We didn't end up... Part of me thought that maybe we'd get to have like a big literati hangout somewhere. Like maybe we'd order pizza and like reluctantly watch WrestleMania. That didn't happen. You know, they all had M and Dawn and Pancakes and Laz and Brian. They were all going to Joey Janela's Clusterfuck Forever at midnight. So they had a long night ahead of them. They wanted to nap. They wanted to rest. I get it. Maybe they had a long day before that. He lent his steel cage to another promotion. Had to go show them how to set it up and what to do with that and all that. So I get it, but we got to cross paths when we did. There are a lot of friends here in town that I never got a chance to see. I still haven't met Rich Fan. I still haven't met Erica, which is funny because like she comes all the way down from Montreal. I come all the way from Toronto, and then like we don't see each other. Fawn's out here. Never saw her. It happens. But tomorrow, we have one more show. We have Spark Joshi. That show is filled with some of the greatest American women wrestlers going today. Amazing Joshi talent from Stardom and other places. Lindsay, Glitterati member Lindsay Baker, is going to be there. I will finally get to meet her. I believe Kevin's there. I'm going to see him again. I did not get autographs, and like photos were like $50-$60 each ahead of time. And as much as I love Tam Nakano and Mayu Iwadani, I just couldn't swing $60 to get a photo with them. That's too much. But hopefully they have some cool merch, and hopefully we get to see we'll get to see some more great, amazing women's wrestling tomorrow, which is all I can ask for. And then maybe we'll hang out with Lindsay. Maybe we'll do some more shopping. Who knows? Our weekend is really only half over, even though some of the glitterati are heading back home today. It's been a great weekend. It's been a lot of fun. I wish we could do things like this more often. I wish that I didn't live so far from all these other people. I wish the Toronto wrestling scene was more interesting than this, because like, no offense to Smash Wrestling and Demand Lucha and Greektown and Destiny Wrestling, but like most of the shows only have one women's match. Most of the time it's Jody Threat versus somebody, or Alexia Nicole versus somebody, maybe Miley versus somebody, and that's it. And it's just not that exciting, and I'm not going out to these shows. I'm not paying $20 for a show with one women's match and then a lot of men's matches and with like no outside talent. And I know there's issues with the border and whatever, but I'm like, is it really that expensive to, you know, bring a couple of interesting talent up from America rather than exclusively like the same people who wrestle the same shows every single month? I don't know. I'm not a promoter. Not yet. The point is, this weekend has been a lot of fun and I wish we could do it more often. We can't. That's okay. But maybe some people, again, I've been saying this all weekend, everybody see, I'm like, hey, Money in the Bank is in Toronto in July. Money in the Bank is a fun one. You people like that. People love ladder matches, okay? 30 years of ladder matches. You people are fans. You know this is a big show. Why not take a road trip? Why not drive to beautiful Toronto? Toronto in July? Amazing. So sunny, so warm. Come for a couple of days. I'll take you to Kensington Market. I'll take you to Queen Street West. Maybe we'll go to the island. Maybe we'll go to the Brickworks. I'll take you to Hogtown Vegan. Check out Sonic Boom. Some of my favorite great places here. Do it. Come join me in Toronto this July 6th, and I will show you the wonderful time that you've shown me this year, and show you how thoughtfully laid out our parking lots are and how easy it is to drive on our roads and our streets, because everything is well lit and well signed, and we're not afraid to tell you
where to go and when to go in a timely, thoughtful manner. New Jersey.
Hello, Grit and Glitter friends. We are on the road back from Philadelphia. This is M. Fear. I am being joined in my car with the lovely and talented Don Halliwell, as well as our friend of the show, friend of PW Torch, Lab. The three of us just left Philadelphia this morning around 10 a.m. After having arrived on Thursday for WrestleMania weekend, or Big Philly Wrestle weekend. None of us are at WrestleMania, so we're not going to be talking about any of that, but we figured, yeah, we're on the road, and, like, I don't know if you have done this stretch between Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, but it is one long, straight highway, so we figured it's a good time to talk about what we, to unpack what we saw this weekend, because we saw a lot, friends, right?
We saw a lot.
12 shows?
12 shows.
Well,
you saw 12 shows. I saw 11 and a half.
Wait, hold on. Yeah, okay. So, no, we saw 12. We all saw 12.
Wait, hold on.
We saw 12. John saw 12 and a half.
No, it's Defy, uh-huh. Stardom,
uh-huh.
DDT, GCW, and JCW versus the world. TJPW.
Mm-hmm. Progress.
Progress. Joey Janela's Spring Break 8. For the Culture. Effie's Big Gay Brunch 9, GCW versus TJPW, and Joey Janela's Spring Break, Buster Fuck Forever.
Okay, you're right. There
so
were,
it's 11.
There weren't four shows on Saturday, yeah.
Yeah.
So, Dawn saw 11 and a half, because Dawn made it to Bloodsport.
We decided to go to dinner.
Masha versus Shayna Baszler sounded like a real good time, but so did sitting down and eating something substantial after having been on the road all morning and then at two straight shows.
I thought the atmosphere of that match was really cool, because you have Jordynne Grace cornering Masha, and then you had Zoe Stark cornering Shayna. I thought that was really cool. You had like a little bit of a TNA versus WWE aspect of that, and you had all weekend you had a bunch of like TNA and WWE people popping in and out of the show to be selected, which was really cool that they were supporting their, co-workers and friends.
Yeah, I mean, you were saying that, like, Don sent me a list of people spotted at Bloodsport, and it's just, like,
a bunch of
fucking famous people at this point, yeah. But, of course, me and Laz did not make that, but all three of us were at that Stardom show at the ECW Arena in 2300 at 3 p.m. on Thursday. This is the first fully Stardom-based show in the U.S. in 5 years, I think, since 2019's WrestleMania weekend.
That's right.
So, I thought it fucking delivered. I'll tell you what, both of the Joshi shows that we went to, the full Joshi shows, this and TJPW, came in at under 2 hours. And am I complaining? No, yeah. I am not. Look, some people are like, more is more. I'm like, less is good if it's good stuff. And Stardom, all, as they say, the all killer, no filler. All the matches went right to about the, like, 12, anywhere between the 12 and 15 minute mark. There was some business after some matches, and some of it just a smooth transition to the next one. They gave us little video packages. They gave us great entrances. But, yeah, for the most part, it's, like, nice and straightforward.
Oh, I'm just looking at the description of the show.
Yeah.
The best commentary team ever. Zeta Scott and guess who? Tom freaking Lawler.
Okay, so you know why? Because Tom Lawler is a giant nerd for Joshi. And I found this out because I talk about this all the time, but it's one of the most delightful things ever. During the New Japan Stardom crossover show, historic crossover, no one was having more fun in that show. No one was more excited and happy to be there than Mr. like denim booty shorts himself, Tom Lawlor. My God, watching him in that show was just like seeing someone on Christmas morning. And I really hope they do another one simply for Tom Lawler's sake, because he was having such a good time. Oh my God. Well, now I have to, now I gotta go watch that show. So we have commentary. Oh, Beta was everywhere, of course. Saying that Beta was on commentary is basically redundant, because I feel like Beta Scott has figured out how to clone themselves and like just like decided to do every show. Maybe not like one or two at the collective, but most of them featured commentary from one.
Yeah,
Beta
the only
Scott.
Thing she probably didn't do at the collective would have been For the Culture.
Didn't do For the Culture. Yeah,
because she would have been at Stardom during Bloodsport.
Although I would love to hear Beta on commentary for Bloodsport. I mean,
I'm sure she would do a great job.
They would kill it. Yeah, absolutely.
They're amazing.
But Stardom was fantastic. We did get, and we'll be talking a little bit about spoilers here, so if these are shows that you wanted to check out and spoiler-free, well, you probably already got spoiled on the internet, but we got some interesting developments at the Stardom show. I didn't expect a whole lot of, like continuous plot development. Obviously, we had a title challenge, but we also got a reunion of sorts. Mariah May's faction in Stardom called Venus had a little reunion for a tag match at this show, and unfortunately her team lost. But who came out to console her? Who came out, friends? That's right, the one and only, with a big bouquet of flowers. And like, if you're like me, you're thinking the whole time she's going on and on about how proud she is of someone, how blah, and it's like, oh, she's going to, like, give them to
herself.
Or call out someone else that she worked with.
That's not Mariah.
That she worked with. That, yes, exactly. Maybe one of her former colleagues at Stardom. But no, she gave Mariah her flowers, and it was very, very sweet. And then, cast a little shade. Cast a little shade at Mariah's Club Venus and tag partner, Mina. Who maybe has set up now a potential future match against the AEW Women's Champion at a future potential Forbidden Door. Yeah. So
I'm just waiting for that to be officially confirmed, because it's...
Who knows? I feel like they wouldn't have done that if they weren't going to capitalize on it. But who knows? Because I often think something makes sense, and then they decide to not do the thing that makes sense, so...
I wonder if they would ever do, like, a combined show in Japan with, like, AEW and anybody. You know what I mean?
I feel like that's... I mean, why not? But, like, also, I'm curious what, For AEW, it comes down to, like, where do their distribution deal? Like, where does their, like, their deal... What is covered?
Yeah, I guess that...
Like, international rights and stuff get kind of sticky, and I'm not, like, an international law, copyright law professional, so...
It's called Journey First.
Let's do it. Alright, so, sound Stardom. So we're not going to go through every show that we watched, but I wanted to ask my friends in the car, since we're still unpacking everything we saw, and we saw so much. First of all, let's start with your favorite show. What was your favorite show that we went to?
For me, it was, typically either Big Effie's Big Gay Brunch or For Their Culture, and I knew that ahead of time, that's what my favorites were gonna be, but I think those shows are just, such a cool event unto themselves, and, they always have great matches, and they're always super loose and fun.
Yep. I gotta say, my overall top favorite is the solely TJPW show. I've only ever caught like clips and single matches and that sort of thing on the internet, and I haven't watched a full TJPW show, but now I'm going to have to go out and search for it, and they earned themselves a fan. But if you are ever in a city that has a WrestleMania, you should go see For the Culture and Big Gay Brunch, because they are definitely worth it.
Oh, yeah. I'm gonna echo Laz. I think it's a tight tie between DDT and TJPW, but for the sake of this pod, and because we focus on women's wrestling, I will highlight the TJPW show from Friday morning. It was just, like, so good. So fun. So
not long.
Not long. Again.
We were able to sit.
Yes, we were able to, which never hurts. We
sitting
stood.
Sitting doesn't hurt.
Did we stand for that one?
No.
I think we stood. Pretty sure. Anyway.
Doesn't matter.
We definitely stood because we went to Asian Buffet afterwards, and I was like, I am sitting. We sat at Progress after that.
Yeah. Also, shout out to that Asian Buffet across the street from the venue.
Ruby Buffet across the street from Penn's Landing Caterers, $11.38 American cents for a all-you-can-eat enormous buffet of decent quality, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, really not bad. It had dim sum. It had sushi. It had little cakes.
Chicken wings.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It did not have crab rangoons, but it did have these, like, weird, like, pastry, like, sweet cheese buns, and those, like, scratch that itch, so thank you, Ruby Buffet.
Did I do
that? Yeah, of course you did.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
Yeah. Go there for the lunch. It's 11, like, 30 bucks.
Yeah, it's 11 bucks.
11.38.
So I'll echo, TJPW was fantastic. We've talked about TJP on this show. We have talked about, how much I like TJP. The Stardom show was fantastic and, like, a really great showcase for people who, like, both love Stardom and are just getting introduced. TJPW at the Collective kind of works in the same way, but I just felt, and maybe it was the venue itself, and feeling a little bit more immediacy in a smaller venue space like that, it just felt a little bit more livelier, a little bit, in the same way that I tend to opt towards...
Did you say smileier?
Well, smiley.
I think it had, like, a more, like, positive, happy atmosphere.
It had just, like, the feel of a party.
Mm-hmm,
but,
yeah.
not like Joey Janela's spring break party. It had a feel of, like, a 10-year-old girl's birthday party at the roller rink.
Yes.
And you're all, like, hopped up on, like, cake and pop, and you're, like...
You have streamers.
Oh, my God. And you and your bestie have just gotten really good at spinning each other around on your roller skates, and, like, your hair is in, like, the super cutest pigtails ever.
And you have bubbles.
You got bubbles.
Lots of bubbles.
I didn't bring the bubbles out for that one.
No,
we didn't bring bubbles out until Saturday. Honestly, should have been bubbles all weekend. If you were watching Clusterfuck or Big A Brunch, you might have seen some bubbles in the background. That was me and my friend Peach, who was the smartest person in prepping for this big wrestle weekend, because they packed not one but two bubble guns in order to use specifically at brunch, but then we used them throughout the shows the rest of the day, because once you got a bubble gun, like... Really. TJPW is probably my favorite. And also, just a lot of people that I have never gotten to see live. And most of that roster I've never gotten to see in person. I can say the same for most people I talk to. And I had seen some of the Stardom talent in person, so maybe it was just a tiny bit more special. I don't know. I hate to compare. Because it's like, they were all really good. But
I think that's what I liked about Progress, too. It's like, a lot of people like I've never seen in person. And, you know, some new faces.
Yeah. Shout out to the Progress show.
Cheeky Little Buggers. Super fun.
Yes!
Oh.
Cheeky Little Buggers.
It's Charles Crowley, and I don't remember her name.
Is it Alexis Malkin?
Give me a second. I will tell you.
Okay, we'll come back to that. We got a great tag match between Bunty and Session Moth Martina and her partner, who I'm also blanking because... Sorry,
Gene.
Nice Gene, who unfortunately got a busted nose during that match by accident. But a lot of fun Martina stuff on that one. Martina and Alley Catch had some really great moments early on in that match. Instant besties, as you might imagine.
That was great.
Yeah, whenever they were like, did we just become best friends?
Oh, my gosh.
And the cheeky little buggers are Alexis Falcon and Charles Crowley.
All right. Yeah, we got it. Yeah, they were fantastic. Shout out to Alexis for her role in that, it was a three-way, four-way tag match?
Three-way
tag match for the tag belts, mm-hmm. for Progress tag belts. Tiki Little Buggers were the defending champions. Alexis Falcon's role in this match was to just be, like, ragdolled the entire time, right?
Yeah.
Like, well, she was wrestling, they were wrestling Sanity. So Sanity was in the match, so you know they're going to throw around pretty much anybody.
Yeah. Yep. And, yeah.
Sanity and the Sunshine Machine.
Oh, Sunshine Machine was super fun.
Yeah, shout out to Sunshine Machine.
That was a fun, just in general, that was a fun match.
Yeah,
fantastic. Like, there were a lot of, like multiple tag team matchups throughout the weekend. Great way to get, like, a bunch of people on your card, obviously. And so that one was probably my favorite of the ones that I saw, maybe?
Yeah.
It just had a lot of personality to it. And that show was just another one where it was, like, fairly lean and, like, and it moved quickly. Okay, so moving on. So we talked about favorite shows. What was else we were going to say?
Favorite match.
Les Pelps is keeping me on track because I'm driving. I'm driving. I drove, everybody. When I started podcasting with Harley, I was not a driver, and now I'm driving back from Philadelphia from wrestling weekend where I drove all these people around all the time. Mom had the car.
Shout out to parking availability at the venue.
Oh my gosh. Penn Landing, GTW picked a really good venue for this, and one of the best assets of this was that Penn Landing caterers have an enormous parking lot. Enormous. Like, so big that even spring break, even brunch, did not fill the lot. Probably filled it, but, like, there was never not a space. And you could just leave your car during the day if you were there for the collective, so it was fantastic. Not shout out to Philadelphia parking in general, which sucks.
Yeah.
Okay, so favorite match?
I'm going to go with Masha against Zuri. It was late at night.
Oh, God.
Not that many people were into that show. It was the GCW-JCW versus the World show. That match, they went to a 30-minute time limit draw, and they basically just fucking, had a great 30-minute match.
Yeah.
It was not what I would have on paper wanted at midnight on the day that we arrived.
Yeah, getting up at 5 a.m.
Yeah, if you had said to me, like, hey, Emily, so one of these matches is going to be a 30-minute match.
A draw.
I would have been like, pass, could go home. However, I'm really glad that I didn't know it going into that late night show. And as exhausted as we all were, that was the one match in that card that I was, like, fully alert for, fully attentive to, because these women had this, like, slow build of this match. It was a deliberately paced slow build.
Yeah.
And when it moved, when it started going, it went. And the whole time I'm thinking, where is this going? We're getting, like, so close. And, like, they kept giving us the time, which is, like, sometimes a dead giveaway of, like, okay, well, we're getting a lot of time warnings now. And, yeah, sure enough, it was a draw. Time limit draw. Didn't know I needed it, but I'm so glad we got it. That might be my match, too, although I have a couple other ones. Laz, what do you think? Favorite match?
My favorite match is from the GCW versus TJPW.
Ooh.
Seth DeLander versus Hyper Masao. Sometimes a favorite match is just because some of your favorite people are in it. I really enjoyed Steph DeLander since she's joined up with Matt Cardona, and Hyper Masao is one of those people who, I've watched clips of TJPW, and Hyper Masao is one of those that I would watch out for, and I've enjoyed everything she's done. So that one, just that combination and the fact that the two of them really had a lot of fun in that match, like, perfect. That's going to be my favorite match.
Oh, all good picks. You know, I have a lot of favorite matches, so I'll shout out one that might have gotten missed. It's another one from one of the late night shows. I really enjoyed the multi-tag match at For the Culture. shout, like, huge, huge kudos to Brooke Valentine and Faye Jackson.
Yeah. Thick and Juicy.
Thick and Juicy stole the show in a, like, really stacked, like, set of tag teams. That had what? We had main event.
Main event.
Uh-huh.
The Pittsburgh main event. So Duke Davis and Gannon Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Killionaires Club.
Yeah.
Jay Bougie and Pete Beasley Smooth. And perennial favorites, Kings of the District.
Yeah, and you know me. I never root against the Kings. I love the Kings. I love me some Eel and Jordan. However, it was hard not to be 100% behind Brooke and Faye in this match. Came in with attitude. Came in the most adorable little matching outfits. Not even matchy-matchy, just like compliment. Oh, so cute. Adorable. And then proceeded to just, like, yeah, do what, like, thick, juicy, powerful women do, which is just run the gamut of, like, the teasing to brawling. It was super fun. Definitely a highlight at a card that was, like, another late-night show, and so energy is low. I think it kicked things off, or it was one of the early matches on that card, and it definitely kept the momentum up. Yeah.
Yep. And, you know, it was the first match back in a long time for Faye, and I think the first singles match back from injury for Brooke. So, and they, you know, didn't look rusty at all. They looked absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
And just to put it out there, no spoilers, but given the way it ended, Nick and Juicy should be number one contenders for the Enjoy Tag title. Just saying.
If, you know, anyone from Enjoy is listening to this, maybe a little taco fest.
Hey, Enjoy Wrestling. Are you listening to this? Put it on your Taco Fest. I'm not going to be sly about it. I'm too tired. I'm so fucking exhausted. All right. So, what else we got?
Favorite person
we saw.
Yep.
I mean, I'll go. All
right.
I gotta say my girl Palm. I'm a huge Maxine Impaler fan. So
you have to support Palm because it's Max's Palm.
Yeah, Max takes care of Palm most of the time, but unfortunately Max was out with COVID, and they could not make the show. But so in the tag team match, Max did recruit another monster to take care of Palm.
Yes. And who would have that been?
That Mount Monster was the one and only Japanese legend, Ajaka.
Amazing.
I loved it. So great. Got to see Ajaka multiple times this weekend.
Yeah.
Last week, I did not think I was going to see her at all.
Yeah. Announced for that show and then popped up in a couple of places. Fantastic. Pom did such good work on that TJPW show, like, both of the shows that TJPW ran as the collective, but, like, especially their, like, primary show on Friday. Such fun, and, like, a wrestler who I've liked in passing, but, like, honestly just got, like, totally into that vibe in person.
Yeah, she definitely, yeah, the personality in herself is, definitely comes through even more important.
Like, just imagine a terrier who thinks that she's a big dog.
And is scared of
it. And then is scared. Or maybe not a big dog that acts like a terrier. Definitely a small dog who sometimes thinks that she's a big dog. What about you, last favorite wrestler?
Oh, that is so hard, but I am going to say, man, it's really tough, and I find myself going back to my regular favorites list of Masha Slamovich.
Yeah.
Love her.
You
can't go wrong, and she was on so many shows.
Yeah.
Like, there's always somebody who does a ton of shows WrestleMania weekend. Usually that person is Speedball Mike Bailey, but, like, Masha Slamovich and Gringo Loco were on so many shows that we saw.
So many.
And Masha never phoned it in, wasn't ever, like, seemingly tired, and every single match she was in was great.
Yeah, she was fantastic. like, going into this weekend, I knew that I would be seeing Masha Slamovich matches and enjoying Masha Slamovich matches, and that's exactly what happened. What I didn't expect was something like Thursday night's event, where it was like I was getting a showcase for her that I didn't plan for or expect, but like was really excited to see that and felt like it unlocked a, like a different level.
And you guys, you didn't even see her match with Shayna.
We didn't, no.
No, I'm gonna go home and watch it.
Yeah, because like anything I missed as a collective, which is only Bloodsport and then parts of GCW and WCW versus World, like not an object. I can just go back on fight and watch it. So that's one of the fantastic things. Revisit some things and also revisit shows that we went to that we enjoyed and get to hear the commentary.
Whenever her tag team match at Spring Break, she teamed with Rena against Tanaka and Suzuki was
Yeah, that leads me into one of my favorites. And again, it's like already on the favorite list, but first time actually I've ever gotten to see her in person was Rena Yamashita.
Rena is such a...
Okay, so...
She's a cutie and scary all at the same time.
Something I missed about Rena, maybe because I haven't been watching enough GCW, but, like, I've seen Rena be a total badass, right?
Yep.
I've seen Rena be, like, the toughest bitch in GCW, tougher than anyone. Like, she's ultraviolet champ for a reason.
For over a year, I think, now.
Yeah, and so I didn't quite expect the level of silly billiness that would come out of Rena. And in, like, differing ways, too, whether it's, like, just being, like, silly at the clusterfuck, like, everyone's being silly, or, like, mocking Minoru Suzuki in a way that is, like, mean girl silly. I'm, like, cruising for a bruising. Every time she popped up somewhere, it was a total delight. She was great in Clusterfuck. She was in that match for a really long time. So every spot, like, every particular spot that she got to do was really fun. So trying to think of, like, any new favorites, like, seen for the first time. We talked about the Cheeky Little Bugger. So Alexa Falcon, who I had seen live, like, it was great to get to see her for the first time. A ton of TJP talents that I'd never seen live. And some of whom I haven't seen much at all. Shoko in TJP.
Yep.
Fantastic. Super, super good work from her. I mean, I don't know. They're Joshi wrestlers. They're Joshi. They're amazing. Like, well, like, there's only so much to say about how amazing that they are. Oh, Don got to see a favorite. Don got to see a favorite in progress.
Lana Austin and Rio had a great freaking match. I love them both.
They really, really did. Friend of the show, Lana Austin from our, like, semi-early days. Loved seeing her live. And it's such a rare treat. Like, I love seeing the talent that's based here, obviously, but, like, one of the things I went this weekend for was to see international talent that I do not get to see, often or ever. And UK talent falls under that. Like, we had a couple of different session loss matches throughout the weekend, and all of those were great, too, because it's just it's a delight to see session loss.
And I thought it was cool that we got to see a bunch of Billy Starks.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Billy Starks was out there freaking winning the ROH television title.
Uh-huh.
And that morning, she was having a fucking killer match with Piper Niven.
That's right. And cornered by none other
than Athena.
And the ROH Women's Champion. That was lots of great moments of the collective that were... where it's like, oh shit, it's that person. But like, yeah, that was one of those, that big surprise of like, oh my God, Athena's here. Fucking Athena's right there. Speaking of surprises, let's talk about biggest surprise or like your favorite surprise of the surprise twist or surprise appearance or whatever of the weekend. I'll start because I'm gonna let you guys take mine. Clusterfuck, going on strong. You know, there's like 87, 88 people in that fucking match. Halfway through, or maybe a little bit more than halfway through, who should come out, and don't ask me the number because ain't no one keeping track of that. Who should come out but the one, the only, the icon, the legend, Mercedes Martinez. And I don't know that Laz and Don have ever seen me mark out harder. I have never gotten to see Mercedes Martinez live. I I know that I probably could. Like, there's other opportunities. I know that she knows our age and stuff like that. But, like, I just, there was nothing on my radar that said, like, she would be in that match, in the clusterfuck of all places. And there she was. There she fucking was, cleaning house, taking down everyone. Fantastic. Just so delighted. And, like, honestly, at a point in the night where it was probably, like, if not 2 a.m., close to 2 a.m., a little after 2 a.m., and there she fucking was. And it was just, like, other people had their big, like, appearances that maybe got them bumped for the evening, but that was mine. Surprises, friends. Surprises. Anyone have a favorite?
I'm going to stick with the one that I kind of already mentioned. It's Aja Kong. Like, that was a total surprise. I mean, I know all of you guys are listening at home probably saw it on, you know, the internet before we got the information, but...
Yeah, because, like, it wasn't announced. Did we know that going into the TJP show that she was the replacement?
I think by then we knew, but we definitely didn't know the first day.
Uh-huh.
It was like, hey, Max has COVID, and I think they announced that Aja was going to take her place later that night, and that all the spots that Aja was going to have were taken by Trisha Dora. And I was geeked because I didn't think I was going to see Trisha Dora at all this weekend, and I got to see her a bunch too.
Yeah.
And my big surprises are just how many people I didn't think I was going to see and ended up seeing multiple times. And, like, it's easy to look back on now and go, oh, well, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But when I was looking at this and planning and looking at the cards, there were so many, like, oh, wow, this person is here. Awesome.
Yeah.
So great.
Don, you got one?
I don't know. I mean, like, I thought everything was super awesome, and, got to see a lot of new faces and stuff like that. I thought, you know, obviously Speedball is always amazingly awesome, and I think, you know, like, he steps up his game whenever he gets to, wrestle, you know, like, Japanese wrestlers, or gets to tag team with Mal, who is another one of my favorites. And, you know, obviously we saw Speedball kiss someone who wasn't their spouse.
We did. There was a kiss chant, and then there was a kissing. And we saw a little bit of, like, boys on boys, a little girls on girls.
Yeah, there was a,
I believe that Effie got a kiss from Dirty Dango.
Oh,
yeah.
At the end of the gay brunch, right at their
back. And,
and
we got the Kirk, which I fucking love Casey Kirk, so I was super happy about that.
Yeah.
So we got the Kirk.
And what an appearance, because it lasted all of 3 minutes.
So they came in the ring while Sawyer and Manders were in the ring, and... Casey and Sawyer kind of took... Well, that was also another surprise.
Sawyer wreck at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Sawyer wreck has a broken wrist, so had to pull out of the show she was booked for this weekend very, very fast.
Mm-hmm.
They made the replacements that they made, which was, you know, what they had to do. But, yeah, we missed getting to see Sawyer. But not entirely, because who should appear in the clusterfuck? And they always tell you anything's possible. But Sawyer wreck with her right arm, like, right wrist in hand, like, very much in a very, very thick cast.
But, now, one of the ways you can be eliminated from the clusterfuck is to leave the building. So, Sawyer and, Casey took out their partners, and then, they had a little moment, had a little kiss, and they eliminated by themselves by leaving the building.
Together.
I mean, ladies.
All the ladies.
Smart choice.
Yeah.
Oh my god! You get out of here. Go find a spot. Go find a place. Get to know each other a little bit better. I love that moment. It's funny because like we went to brunch on Saturday morning, went to Big Gay brunch on Saturday morning, and then at midnight we went to the Clusterfuck, and I noticed that like spots that work for me at Big Gay brunch don't necessarily work in the same way for me when they are put in a different context, like as Joey Janela's Spring Break Clusterfuck. But then there are moments like that where it's like, okay, either way, this is fun. It doesn't feel icky.
Yeah.
There's a whole, like, it just that different like vibe.
It just feels fun.
Yeah, it just feels fun. Like, they're clearly cool. Like, this was probably their idea.
Because who doesn't love Sawyer Rack to begin with?
And then Sawyer Rack gets to make an appearance without actually getting in any way, like, injured. More than she currently is.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what? That whole cast on a wrist. So, yeah, that was a key moment. Yeah. I don't know, lots of really fun little surprises here and there. There's probably a ton that I'm forgetting. Probably a ton of, like, delightful things. Loved getting to see Ram Kai Chow. I love getting to see her wrestle twice. That match, MDK, Maki Death Kill versus Danhausen and Ram Kai Chow, that was a fun one.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of Danhausen, lots of teeth, lots of Maki.
Lots of cursing.
Oh my gosh, yes. Look, there was
finger cursing. There was actually Dan Halford putting a curse on somebody.
Yeah, there was a voodoo doll. So
obviously there was curse words because Maki Ito wasn't it.
Yes, yeah. And Nick Gage who like his dinner greeting. Where my fucking gay at? Well, so yeah, we've been chatting for the last 30-some minutes, so we'll probably wrap up there, but fun weekend. I mean, there were so many shows we didn't get to. Obviously, we focused mainly on collective shows. Aside from the Stardom show at 2300, we really didn't, like, leave Penn's Landing Caterers that much as far as going elsewhere. Didn't get to catch a lot of the, like, cool outside stuff that was happening. I know there were shows happening in block parties and at, like, smaller venues and at skate parks. Hey, Lindsay Stowe saved a guy's life. Great work, Lindsay Stowe. Congratulations. Please, if you see Lindsay Stowe, buy her anything she wants. She saved someone's life.
Yeah, after jamming a bunch of tattoo needles into Brandon St. James.
That's
the way to live.
After potentially reducing someone's life. So, but so there was a lot of things that we didn't get to see. Our friends over at AAD Wrestling ran a show on Thursday afternoon, unfortunately at the same time as Stardom, so we didn't get to get over there, but heard good things about that. We have some friends. Harley, our pet, is going to talk to you about Spark Joshi, which him and his wife, along with other Glitterati members, are currently at, as we speak,
which
right
our
now.
Is
we have a friend. It's going to be public by the time this episode comes out. So yeah, we got a certain cute ref is on the roster, along with another one out of our region, because remember, we're all in Western Pennsylvania. So yeah, excited to like catch up on that show once we all get back to town. And yeah, from there, we'll just I'll sign off so I can focus back on the road. Say goodbye, boys.
Goodbye, boys.
Day 3, and the main feature of the day is Spark Joshi. Now, I'd never heard of Spark Joshi before this weekend, if I'm being honest, but when I heard All Women Show featuring some of the best American women around and a bunch of Japanese women, it was like, okay, obviously, I will be there. Which is good that I was that quick to decide, because honestly, they didn't even announce like any matches until 3 or 4 days beforehand. And, you know, they're not like dream matches on paper, but it's the spectacle. It's the chance to see these different people rub shoulders, to see Mayu Iwani wrestle Maya World, to see Aja Kong and Janai Kai lock it up, to see Azumi take on Danny Mo. Like, these aren't matches that you're going to be getting in Stardom, honestly. These aren't matches you're going to be getting probably anywhere else, but it's such a cool opportunity to see these matches in person and to see these women in person.
I got into stardom in 2018 after a lot of the stardom, not a lot, after a handful of stardom women made appearances on some ROH shows, mostly Kagetsu Hazuki, Mayu, Hana Kimura. I want to say that was it. It was kind of just those four over and over in different combinations, six woman tags, things like that. But they blew me away from the start, and that's what got me into stardom. And I was huge into stardom for a good 2 or 3 years there, watching every single show, doing written reports for the Pro Wrestling Torch about them. My favorites were Mayu, Tam Nakano, and Jungle Kiona. Those were the three that spoke to me. And when I fell off of stardom, it was for a bunch of reasons I don't have to get into here, but part of it was because it was clear that, like, Jungle Kiona was not going anywhere in the organization. She was never going to get a chance to run with the ball. People like Tam were being leapfrogged by newcomers like Julia, Nutami, and Sai Kamatani. And that, you know, hurt my feelings and, like, made me less interested in the product because I didn't really like those people. And honestly, I still don't. Still not a Julia fan. WWE can have her. So I fell off of stardom, and I kind of stopped watching a lot of Joshi wrestling regularly. I wanted to watch TJPW and some of these other ones, but the one advantage stardom always had was that they had subtitles when none of these other ones do. And it's hard for me to invest in the people and the characters and storylines without getting to, like, know what they're saying in the promos and things like that. And that's where stardom really hooked me. Getting subtitles on all the promos made me really care about Mayu and about Kiona and Momo Watanabe. So getting to see these women, not Kiona, obviously she's still on knee surgery, but getting to see a handful of these women in person at the Monster Factory in suburban New Jersey. Literally, like, the Monster Factory is just in a neighborhood. There's, like, dudes next door working on their cars, mowing their lawns, and then, hey, here's a little building that happens to be home to, like, some really famous wrestlers. Surreal. I didn't get to meet anybody or get any photos or autographs. You had to sign up for all that well in advance. It was $60 per person. I couldn't swing that. I kind of thought, like, oh, I could at the very least, like, meet them very briefly while I buy merch after the show, right, intermission. Wrong again. The stardom girls didn't have any merch. They weren't tabling during intermission or after the show. It was just women like Masha Slamovich and Vert Vixen and Ram Kayacho. I did get to meet Danny Mo, which was cool. Bought some stickers from her. Got to chat with her briefly, which is nice. Mentioned how big of a fan I am of her and Facade. I've been fans of theirs for years. So that was really nice. But it's okay because I got to see these women wrestle. I got to see Mayu do a high crossbody off the top rope to the floor. I got to see Izumi do a little fun comedy match with Danny Mo and Aja Kong. I got to see Tam Nakano in full gear make her entrance with those little chipmunk cheeks, and it was so special. It was the highlight of the weekend, easily, just getting to be in the presence of these people. Like, this is probably how ordinary people feel when they're front row at Taylor Swift or when they meet Brie Larson at Comic-Con. These are my superheroes. These are my, like, famous celebrities. There's no intermission for the Spark Joshi show, and Monica and I are fading. You know, it's really hot in the building. It's a sellout crowd. It's jam-packed in there. We're GA standing. So they shove us to the back of the venue. We got fog machines blasting in our face, smelling like a laser tag arena. And my back's hurting. My legs are hurting. So I say, you know what? It's okay. We can miss one match. Not the end of the world. Let's go outside, get some fresh air. We'll come back refreshed and reinvigorated for the last two matches. So we go outside and we find just a curb out in the sun in front of the venue to sit down and just stretch your legs and breathe in some fresh air. And then I glance over and there, 20 feet away, sitting on a bench, is Tam in full gear. And sitting next to her, sitting on a curb in a baggy sweatshirt and jeans, is Konami, scrolling on her phone, smoking on her vape. And it's just so cool. Obviously, I didn't go and say hi or interrupt them or, you know, ask for a photo or anything like that. Like, I'm not that kind of person. I'm not going to bother them. I know they're just there trying to chill after their matches. But I glanced a couple of times and took in just like, wow, here we are in New Jersey. I'm from Canada. They're from Japan. Here we are in New Jersey, thanks to the magic of pro wrestling. And then Mayu walks past, heading to her van because she's taking off early. And she's just wearing baggy brown sweatpants and sweatshirt, and, you know, it's just looks like a person you would walk past in a mall or sit next to on a bus, just some ordinary person not even, you know, to the average untrained eye, no idea that this is, like, arguably, in my opinion, the greatest female wrestler on the planet today. And she glances at us, and I smile, and she keeps walking, and it's just so weird, so cool, so surreal, just to be in their presence without talking or asking for an autograph or anything like that.
That's our show. Thank you so much for listening to our little podcast for 11 full seasons. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, or Patreon at Grit Glitter Pod. We tweet a lot on Twitter, resharing and retweeting other people's posts that are relevant to women's wrestling, tweeting a little bit about like what we're up to here in Glitterati headquarters. On our Instagram, you can find photos. I posted a bunch of photos from my time in Philadelphia, photos from For the Culture, Thrashylvania, and Spark Joshi. And if you support us on Patreon, patreon.com/greatglitterpod, $1 a month, just a measly $1 bill, gets you a weekly newsletter every Monday written by your friends in the Glitterati. For $5 a month, you get that. You get our archive, which includes the first 4 seasons of Grit and Glitter, unavailable now anywhere else, exclusively on our Patreon. New archived episodes dropping every Saturday, wherever you get your podcasts. Plus bonus Patreon podcasts. Em and I have a series called Women's Wrestling Entertainment, where we trace the history of women in WWE. And we've got a new episode of that dropping in about a week's time, week and a half. And this isn't money that we take and put in our pocket and just, you know, go out and get drinks, get food. No, like all our money is recycled, upcycled. We buy the occasional thing like Grit and Glitter stickers or pins. But mostly we just take that money and we put it back into the world of women's wrestling. We use it to sponsor events and wrestlers for shows like Wrestlers Lab, Enjoy Wrestling, Hood Slam, Bell to Bell, things like that. You give us money, we take that money, we give it back to women's wrestling, which is the thing that we all love and the whole reason that we're here. We do this every single week. New episodes every Tuesday, 6 a.m. Eastern, wherever you get your podcasts. Me, Em, and our team of correspondents, along with a slew of special guests, interviews, event coverage, deep dives into history. We got it all here at Grit and Glitter, and we are very proud of the work we've done and the work that we will continue to do starting next week. Next week on the show, we kick off season 12 of Grit and Glitter with a new annual tradition. It is the 2024 Women's Wrestling Draft. Last year, it was a really fun one. Friend of the show, Brian Bell, won the draft over myself, Em, and Kristen Ashley. We'll see who wins this year's draft. Tune in next week to find out.